It probably is. I shouldn't say that because I've never
tried. Well, you know, like on Saturday night when you had too much to drink, eat a bowl of noodles, and you'll be
golden.
That's what I heard. Yeah,
it'll sober you up because the fight is actually intestine, right? So it's soaking up all the alcohol.
I don't think it would really take off
my father-in-law one time.
No.
Really? I sit here for the first time and you move. That's not offensive.
I just split it for you.
See how that works? Okay. Here we go, it is. And I was going to Zoom too, but then I felt bad, so.
Well, we can start.
Okay. We'll call the meeting to order. Do the pledge, please.
Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just for the recording and for the Zoom people, Board President Kathy is joining us via Zoom, and Board Member Ronna Eaton is also on Zoom. Board Member Waltz, Crab, and Medina are all present. Go ahead, Mr. Superintendent.
All right. So I have a couple of honoree things I would like to do, and I'm taking my mask off so I can read it. So first of all, we have Gary Hawk here, and he's here for a short period of time. Gary is, as most of you know, retired. So I wanted to read a little bit about Gary's past here in Wheatland School District. Gary, please accept our best wishes as you enter into your retirement life from the Wheatland School District. Gary was actually done working a few weeks ago, but does not officially retire until January 1st, 2021. Gary has been with the district for a little over 20 years. I was fortunate enough to work with him for the past 11. Gary was first employed in the 1999-2000 school year and spent a little over 2 years as a custodian. He then moved to grounds and spent 2 years in that division. Then Gary moved over to skilled maintenance position where he spent 6 years. In 2010, Gary was promoted to the maintenance lead position and then a few years later changed to the director of maintenance and remained there until last month when he decided to take retirement. Gary has been a fabulous employee of the district and he'll be missed. Gary was and always is a can-do guy and never complained about anything. He has a positive attitude and a great work ethic. Gary came to us after retiring from the Air Force where he spent his career serving our country prior to full retirement and coming here. Gary, may you and your family have some great special moments. I hope you have success in your future. Good luck and please stay in touch. You're a great employee and an amazing person. I have long considered you a good friend. Please consider this retirement bell as a token of our appreciation for all you have done for the district, the staff, and the students.
In 6 months, we'll put you on the sub list. Just like that.
Thank you. Anybody have anything they want to say before I move on to the next one?
Just thank you for all your years of service, and especially thank you for talking my husband off the ledge several times and being a sounding board. So, great job.
It was a pleasure. It was.
You will be best.
Thank you. So next we have Kathy, who's on Zoom. Hi, Kathy. Kathy, please accept this gift, which I will get to you, and our best wishes for your future. We want to thank you for all you have done for the district. I'm very happy that I've been able to work with you for the last 4 years. I've relied on you more than you'll ever know. Your level head and commitment to the students is something that I've always admired in you. You have been an outstanding board member, and we thank you for your service and support. Although I've only had the pleasure of working with you for the past 4 years, your commitment to this community has been ongoing for many years. It has been wonderful working with you and getting to learn from you. We will never forget how much you've done for the district and the community. We've relied on your calm, logical demeanor throughout the past 4 years. Thank you for always being available and for your excellent advice. This last year of COVID has forced all of us to work way more than we ever thought we would together and do all we can to educate our students while keeping everyone safe. You have never shied away from the tough decisions, and you have always been available at the drop of a dime to come meet and work through this at any time. You were president of the board during this entire pandemic and led the board through the toughest times that I've ever seen in education. You will be missed by every one of us. May you have all the success that you deserve, and please stay in touch. Please accept this gift, this token, as an appreciation for all your hard work. Thank you very much, Kathy.
Okay. If I was you, Gary, I'd bail because I wouldn't want to listen to the budget schedule. Just saying.
I'm going to bail with you.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary.
Congrats. Okay, we're going to move on to, unless you have anything else to report.
No.
Okay, we're going to move on to action items. 2.1, adoption of the first interim report, budget revisions, and EPA certification.
Okay, so I'm going to go through this. If you could share on the screen the PowerPoint, please. All right, so as you are all aware, because you've done this a lot of times, we bring to you throughout the year different versions of the budget. In June, we bring the budget. This is when we bring the first interim. We'll bring the second interim. At the same time you're getting the first interim, you're getting last year's audited budget financials, which we won't go over because it's just what our auditor does, but it's on the next item. But let's go through where we are presently, because it has changed dramatically from our original budget. So moving on to the first slide, next slide, please. So again, we're in December. We're going to be awaiting the governor's January budget. State revenues, surprisingly, are coming in slightly higher than the state projections. I think that's a surprise to everybody because of COVID-19, and we'll see where it goes. Now that we're on another stay at home, I don't know how that's going to change. Right now, the state revenues are coming in slightly higher. Moving on to the next slide, we're going to talk about revenues first. So we did a board-approved budget of $12,020,000. And at first interim, the LCFF sources, it's about $10,000 less based on the new FICMAT calculator. So it's $12,010,000. Next slide. So then we go to the federal revenue. We've seen a significant increase in the federal revenue, and I'll talk about that and why. So originally we had a $2 million budget. We're almost at, well, we're at 3.7, a difference of $1.6 million. A lot of that, well, all of it is either CARES money, which is the money that came for COVID that has to be spent by December 31st, or the new PALS grant, or the new DODEA grant. Well, PALS grant from DODEA. So that was about a, I don't know the exact number, $750,000 grant. So that's why you see more revenue coming in from the federal side. Going on to other state. Other state, we saw about a $461,000 increase. And that amount is for two reasons. One, we got more money from state CARES. So we have the federal CARES and the state CARES. And then we have a new strong workforce grant, number two, that was added in. Moving on. So other local revenue, pretty much the same, about $50,000 more due to the grants and some special ed reimbursement from the county. Moving on to the next one. So what's the difference? We budgeted $16,865,000 and we're at first interim at $19,025,000. So a difference of $2,150,000. Don't get too excited because the expenditures pretty much do the same thing. So moving on to the first one. Our certificated salaries, we had some step and column adjustments. So we originally budgeted $7,015,000 and now we're at $7,018,000, so pretty close. But we do have people that move on the salary schedule and it does change things. Classified salaries, again, step and column changes, and then most of this is tied to the new positions in the grant. So it's a $296,000 swing. Just reminding everybody on what is paid out for employee benefits. STRS is the teacher's retirement system. PERS is classified, Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, workers' comp, and then the health and welfare caps. So employee benefits, our original budget was $4,562,000 and we're at $4,536,000. So just a little bit less because of an adjustment for some retired staff. Books and supplies, we originally had a $720,000 budget. At first interim, it's $1.747 million, a difference of a little over $1 million, and all of that is tied to all of the grants. So the grants bring in the money, and then those are the expenditures that will go out because of the grants. Services and other operating, again, budget approved at $863,000. Now it's $860,000. It's almost double what it was, and all of that is tied to either grants or the CARES money. Capital outlay, we didn't have anything budgeted, and we don't have anything on first interim because we're not buying any buildings. We'd like to sell some, but don't buy any. Other outgo, it's exactly the same, no changes. Transfer for indirect costs, no changes. So total expenditures originally was $17,498,000. We're now at $19,659,000, so a difference of $2,161,000. And most of that is grants and the CARES money. So moving on to the next one, transfers, transfers out, no change. We, every year, transfer out to the cafeteria fund for breakfast support, and we transfer to the child development fund because they also bring in impact aid, so we transfer some of the money back to help support that program. Go ahead. So what does it look like at the budget? We were going to deficit spend by $666,000. Now we're at $668,000. So money in, money out. Not a big change. Moving on. So if that comes to fruition, as I always explain to you, it never does. But if we were to overspend by the $668,000, then we would move our fund balance down by that to $4.373 million. So what's the makeup of that? We have revolving cash. That's so we can write checks when we need to for people that lose paychecks and things like that, or bills that are for some reason late or whatever. We have restricted money that has to sit there. We have the reserve for economic uncertainties. We have accrued vacation, which we have to put money aside for all the vacation that sits on the books. Salaries and benefits for cash flow purposes. And then we have $1.6 million in the lottery, which is for future textbook. And then here are the other funds. I'm not going to read all of them. You can see them up there. There's really no significant changes to any of them. And then our multi-year projections are always silly. We're required to do them, but we just take a shot in the dark on how many kids we're going to have and what we think the revenue will be and so on and so forth. So they're really not, you can compare them to what it would be like then, and it won't be anything close to this, but that's what we're required to do. So that brings us to the end of the first interim report. So basically, the gist of it is that we're right on par of where we thought we would be if we didn't have the money coming in for the grants and we didn't have the money coming in for CARES dollars, then we would be exactly the same. So there's the $2,000 difference from the original budget. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any comments, questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve 2.1, the adoption of the first interim report, budget revision, and EPA certifications.
Make a motion to adopt the first interim report.
I'll second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Kathy?
So Kathy's an aye and Ron is an aye.
Okay. Okay. Move on to 2.2, accept the 2019-20 audit.
So what we have here is we've gone through this is the 2019-20 book. We've gone through all of the iterations of the budget, then it goes to our auditor who comes in and audits all the books and then sends a report to the state. We have, again, no findings. Thank you, Brenda and all the group, that we have no findings, nothing that we need to be concerned about when it comes to our budget. And so I'm happy to bring that forward to you so that you can accept it to make it legal, and then it goes to the state.
Awesome. Any comments or questions on the audit? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve 2.2, the 2019-20 audit.
So moved.
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We have two.
Yeah.
They did it.
They're both
okay. Aye. I can't see from here to there.
Yeah, it's fine.
2.3, adopt resolution 2021-04, intent to withdraw from school excess liability fund JPA.
So what this is, kind of a negotiations tool for our insurance company. So as you guys are well aware, we buy our property insurance through TSIG, property liability, and their structure is they pay up to a certain amount, and then over that they have higher, which is self, that company. So if you were to lose a school, they would pay, TSIG would pay the first $7 million, and everything above that goes to the secondary insurer. Well, SELF has been playing a game with all of the districts and trying to raise their rates dramatically. So in order for us to either negotiate with them or go with another company, every district that gets their insurance through them, we're asking, TSIG's asking us, which I sit on the TSIG executive board, is asking the district to give the authority over to the TSIG executive board to pull from SELF if they need to go with another company. Otherwise, if we don't give them that authority to do that, then we're stuck in it for another year. So that's what this is coming forward. It doesn't mean that we will be leaving SELF. We could very well stay there, but it is right now looking like they're raising the rates and raising the threshold in which they will cover. So that's why I bring this forward to you. And the resolution is there, as well as the staff report to show you exactly what we're doing.
So the TSIG is basically going to represent us in the negotiations.
Right, TSIG always represents our district. So we purchase our insurance through TSIG, and they always go out to the market to buy the best insurance. And right now, because of wildfires mainly, but other things, all of the property liability insurance companies that they barter with to get good rates are raising their rates dramatically because they're paying out a lot of money, especially this last year with all the forest fires. So in order for us to be in a better place, we have to tell SELF, if you don't work with us, then we're gonna just go somewhere else. And then that gets them to get off the dime. If they think they have you, then they're not going to negotiate with you. But TSIG does that for us. We don't get involved in that at all. So it would be the CFO, which is, he's actually an attorney. He does all of the bartering and working with all these companies.
How long will this resolution be good for?
So if they choose, it's a one-time resolution. If they choose through his negotiations to leave self, then I would bring that back to you and say we're leaving. But it would be as of July 1st, 2021. Because we're in it now until June 30th. This gives them the authority to then move forward and not have to come back to every board if they decide to go somewhere else. Which it's in our interest for them to get the best deal possible.
Right.
Because it's a pass through. We pay for whatever it is.
I think Rhonda might have a question.
You have to unmute yourself, Rhonda.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
So I thought TSIG was only the health insurance. It's more than just the health insurance?
Oh, yes. TSIG, actually, for our district, the only person on TSIG's health insurance is me. And that was the way it was when I came here. Debbie was on that before. I was on TSIG in the city. So I'm the only one on TSIG. All of our employees are on CDT. The reason we're still with TSIG is the property liability insurance. And our workers' comp, they do both of those for us.
Okay.
Okay. And it's a JPA. In other words, it's run by all the districts that are in the JPA, which is Yuba, Sutter, Colusa, El Dorado. There's a few other surrounding districts that are involved in Yuba College.
Any other questions or comments on the withdrawal on 2.3? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept the adoption resolution for the withdrawal of the school asset liability on JPA.
First?
I'll second.
First and second, all in favor?
All right.
Okay, we will move on to 2.4, approve of SILPA local plan section B. Governance and administration.
So SELPA is our special and local plan authority, which is basically all of the districts in Yuba County belong to the SELPA. Doesn't matter whether you're a public entity or whether you are a charter, you belong to the SELPA. So every few years, they have to rewrite their local plan. And we have spent, how long, Ange? About 8 months working on this, maybe a year, working on the local plan because it's trying to get all of the districts to, between the superintendents and the special ed directors, to agree on changes that may or may not happen in the local plan. So what's coming to you now is one that has been approved by all the special ed directors and superintendents of all the counties within the special ed local plan area. They have to now go to each individual board and then our SELPA will submit it to the state.
Comments or questions? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion to approve 2.4.
I would move to approve 2.4.
First and second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We'll go on to 2.5, actuarial report.
So part of our audit this year, they've been pushing us to do an actuarial report, our auditor, because we're supposed to do one every 5 years. And every year I tell them, come on, it's like $5,000 to do it. And I said, you know, we're fine. We don't need to do it. We don't need to do it. Well, this year he said, if we don't do it, then we'll end up with an audit exception. So I don't know with that. So we went out and did an actuarial for retirement health liabilities. They have to go through, and then what they look at is current liabilities and future liabilities to make sure that you put your money where you need to cover future retirement liabilities. So that's what this is the report from the actuary, and we have no issues whatsoever, as I expected we wouldn't. But I have to bring it to you just for information. It doesn't take an approval, but I wanted to make sure you were aware of it and you have a copy of the report.
Okay.
So that's tied to the audit?
It's the auditor. So the auditor requires us to do it, but we have to do it with an outside actuarial. That's what they do for a living.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know how they do all this stuff.
I'm glad he said that word a bunch of times, not me, because I'm having a hard time getting that out.
So what they do is they go through and they look at all of your personnel, how long they're here, what your average retirement age is, how many people are in the queue to be retired, do you have money put aside, and so on and so forth. And so, and then they also look at like our retirement incentive and things like that that we've done and make sure that we're covering that. So it is a requirement to redo our study every 5 years, I believe it is, and we hadn't done it for a number of years now because I kept trying to put it on just because the cost was so much and it really didn't tell us anything that we didn't already know. But to follow the guidelines and for the auditor to get off our back about it, we decided.
No more questions. I know it's information item. We will move on to 2.6 LCFF budget overview for parents.
Okay, so everything that I went over before, we are now required to put that in a form that goes, it's kind of the LCAP. And we did it last year. And so if you could share that, please. It's supposed to be easier reading for parents than your budget. I don't find this thing to be easy reading at all. But basically what we do is we use a pre-populated template that we have to go in and put our numbers in, and then it creates all of this, because I certainly wouldn't make those up there like that, and these two overrun each other. But that's the form that we have. So what this is basically a recap of the 2021 LCAP year and the money that we have. So our total projected was $19,025,000. Where did it come from? So all of these numbers are populated off of the first interim that you guys just approved. So this is how it comes forward. I think there's a couple more pages. I don't know if you can scroll. So it talks about where you're spending your money. So it grabs out of different accounts and pulls it in and puts it in the right areas. So you can scroll up a little more. And then you can stop right there. And then, so estimated actual expenditures on high needs students, it puts that in that we spend about $1.1 million on high needs and a million on, the total budget was $1 million and we spent about $80,000 more than that, on target to spend $80,000 more than that. So what this does is when this gets approved, which you have to be approved in December, then what we will do is put it on our webpage for parents to be able to look at it and have a better idea of where the money is going. That's all I really have for you on that.
Next questions. Take home pictures of this beautiful eye chart. If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve 2.6.
Second.
First and second, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay.
So Ronner,
what's Ronner, do you have a question or were you saying aye?
Aye.
Aye, gotcha.
Do we need to open up for any community comments? That was not on the card.
No, this is a special board meeting. Okay. I mean, there's nothing.
Okay.
Our December 17th is our regular board meeting. That's where there would be community comment. I mean, if somebody had a question, we could certainly answer it.
Any board comments? Zoom board comments?
Nothing to share.
So I'll just give a heads up for the December 17th meeting. That is when the new trustees and the re-elected trustees get... the first thing we do is we have a flag salute. The second thing we do is swear them in so they become official. If you do it in any other way now, they've changed it from 2 years ago. If you do it in any other manner, then there's no voting rights for that person until they get sworn in. So we're going to be swearing in at the beginning. Then we'll go through the section of who's going to be the new president, who's going to be the new clerk, what are the dates of the meetings, the times, and all of those.
Does Robin know she doesn't have to go down there?
No.
Robin,
you got something probably in the mail today that said that you had to go down to Yuba County elections to be sworn in. You do not have to do that. You'll be sworn in here on the 17th, and then Melissa will mail in the application signed, and you will be sworn in.
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
If no further comments, we will adjourn our meeting to closed session.
So we're going to have is it present or what is it?
Present there, but yeah. You there, okay. And there's two of us.
So it's you and I think you can decide. So Rhonda and Kathy, we do not have anything for closed session today. So we're going to go ahead and end the meeting. And thank you again, Kathy.
Yes, thank you, Kathy.
Thank you so much for all you've done. We appreciate you more than we can say. Come by and get your present.
We missed you tonight.
All right, all. Thank you very much. See you in a week.
Yeah. Were you?
Yep. Yep.